Ladies and gentlemen, David Hartman.
Hi, morning, everybody. Thank you. And please welcome Connie Edwards and Lieutenant Commander Tim Holt, who is a Coast Guard aviator. Gentlemen. Connie, would you sit between us, please?
You bet.
Tim, thanks. Thank you. Connie Edwards. He is all things aviation and all things Texas. Career Texas guy. He's been a pilot for over 60 years, over 20,000 hours in the cockpit. He owns and or flies probably more airplanes than many of us here today have ever even seen. As a kid, he flew in Cuba, Central America. We'll get back to that later when he was a teenager. He flies U.S. aircraft, British aircraft, German aircraft, and from many other countries, and of course, seaplanes, the reason he's here today. He's actually donated 3 airplanes to the EAA Museum, an F-4, an ME-109, and a P-38. And to the Commemorative Air Force, he gave them 4 ME-109s, an SBD, and an A-20. He has been highly honored by so many governments around the world and has honorary wings from several countries. And he has been particularly involved with the United States Coast Guard Aviation Units. This is Connie Edwards. And Tim Holt, as you can see, wearing gold wings, is a current Coast Guard aviator. Tim, welcome.
Thank you.
Your first time here?
That's right.
What's your impression after 36 hours at Oshkosh?
Overwhelming. I think that's the best word to put it. It's for an aviation enthusiast, it's amazing. So, wall-to-wall aircraft.
Tim, significance of Coast Guard aviation. We don't hear nearly as much about what you do as we do about Air Force, Army, Navy, Marine aviation. How significant is it what you do every day?
It's very significant. What our crews are doing daily, we're always busy. Op-tempo is going. We're doing counter-drug missions. We're doing search and rescue. And give it to those crews 24/7. They're standing the watch. The aircraft that we have here and the additional aircraft that we will have come in, they're operational aircraft. So they could be called out at any time.
So where are you based around the country?
Well, we're based basically the entire continental United States. Ranges from Washington, wrap it all the way around up to Maine. We're on that area. We're also down in Puerto Rico. But we have bases everywhere.
Right. But during wartime, how does the Coast Guard fold in with the Navy or the Air Force or the Army?
What will happen is, even though we are the Department of Homeland Security, in times of war, they can wrap us underneath the DOD.
So during Vietnam, World War II?
We were wrapped underneath the DOD.
Connie? Significance, as I asked him, significance of Coast Guard aviation. How important is it?
Well, I'll tell you. There, I've been in and out of Air Force bases, been in and out of Navy bases and everything, and the Coast Guard, we have always been welcome there. And they're just the best bunch of people that I have ever known, and I have, I might say, not gone out of my way. I have volunteered to be able to go and support the Coast Guard. So they're by far my favorite arm.
How'd that get started for you with all your other aviation background?
Well, I don't know. I bought this HU-16 in 87, the year after I came back in the NC-4. And this is really quite a historical airplane. I bought it from Grumman. It was out at Davis-Monthan in storage and getting ready to be junked or whatever. And this was the second to the last plane that was retired. And it was the only one with all original equipment in it. And so it had a froze up motor because they hadn't put any plugs in it. And so we put a fresh engine on it and put a fresh paint job, and the Coast Guard gave me official permission to leave the Coast Guard on the side. You don't just put Coast Guard on your airplane because, you know, you don't put police on the side of your car, you know. And so, and Admiral Harry Thorson was, he represented the Coast Guard, Elmer Stone, and it's something that the Navy has never lived down, and they hate the name Elmer Stone because there was three of the old Curtiss biplanes that took off, and there was one flown by a Coastie, the NC-4. The other two went down at sea, and old Elmer, he made it to Horta in the Azores and then on into Plymouth, England. And the Navy have hated that story for years.
So how much of a, now this is 1919?
Yep.
All right, how much of a challenge was it for Elmer Stone and the others who didn't make it? What were they facing?
Well, the old original NC-4 had only flown 6 hours before they joined it in with the other two. And there's no navigation. They took out of Horta and the Azores, took out of Newfoundland, they had, 50 or 60 destroyers on course, smoking their boilers. That was their navigation, and they ran into bad weather, and they got separated, and so, and good old Elmer, by God, just made it right on in, and there was one that went down to sea and floated backwards all the way into the Azores, and another one went down, and they took it under tow by a Italian ship, and it sank at sea, and so that's kind of the story of the NC-4.
How many legs were there? You mentioned the Azores, but how much distance did they cover in the air?
Well, that from Trepassey Bay, Newfoundland, it's roughly 1,200 miles, and like I say, the weather went bad. Well, back then they just had celestial navigation, so the ships didn't know where they were either, you know. Old Elmer's always been our hero.
So how did your trip, when you commemorated that trip, how did it go, and how challenging was it for you to pull it off?
Oh, heck, it was, it's a good friend of mine, Art Ward. He was a captain, a retired captain in the Navy, and he was very much a supporter of the Navy, and so they asked him if he knew anyone that had an airplane that would fly across the water, and he said, "Well, Admiral, just give me a few minutes, as I've got a good friend." And he called me. I said, "Heck, let's do it." And that's where it started. And then Admiral Harry Thorson, which he ended up second in command of the Coast Guard, very dear friend of mine, he went over and represented Elmer Stone. And there's a really good movie that the Navy made. Half of it was the original footage, and the other half was when I made the thing. And it turned out good. We had another PBY that went with us, as a character from California.
Character?
Yeah, well, yes. Well, most people from California are characters. and so it became very obvious that he wasn't a qualified pilot, to say the least. And and Norv was the end of his crew. And so I called the Navy and I told them, I said, personally, you better let one of my pilots fly that thing. They said, oh, we don't want to cause any embarrassment. And I said, well, let me tell you what, that character will embarrass you. Well, he made his first landing at Corpus Christi and almost hit the breakwater. His next landing was at Brooklyn, and he almost caught his wing on a tree coming out of the water, taxiing up. And then he made one more landing, and then he made a crash.